Welcome back to the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And I'm Pastor Ken Keltner, pastor at Brookside. Pastor Greg, who usually is doing our broadcast for us, is on vacation with family. And so I'm thankful to be able to actually host the show today because we have some special guests with us. I'm able to have all four of my boys with us here in studio. And we're going to just be sharing a little bit of what God's been doing in their lives. They're third-generation believers. My father did not come from a Christian family. He joined the military. He was in the Air Force, and he was stationed in Greenville, South Carolina. And there was a young preacher boy who lived next door to him who was attending Bob Jones University. And he and his wife befriended my mom and dad and were able to get to know them and eventually share the gospel, and both my mom and dad trusted Christ. And then when my dad finished his stint there in the Air Force, then he had the GI Bill, and that took him back to Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, where he majored in Bible with about 1,300 other young men. And he went on into ministry and pastored for a little over 40 years at two churches primarily, one in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then one in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and that's where he retired. And then God was working in my life to look at ministry, and I can honestly say I fought that for a period of time, and God was patient to continue to work in my life, and I've been in ministry now about 30-plus years myself in Oklahoma and Colorado and then here at Brookside in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and we're happy to have with us my four boys, and so I'll start with Kyle. Kyle's our oldest, and what are you now? You 26?
27.
Oh, wow. 27. Goes fast. 27, and Kyle had graduated from Bible college. He'd been a youth pastor for 3.5 years in Pennsylvania, and you just got back from South Africa,
yeah,
correct?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to pick up here in a moment with Kyle and what God was doing in his life there in South Africa. And then Kevin graduated from Bible college out in Pennsylvania, and tell us a little bit about your ministry you're involved in.
I'm in a ministry called Cross Connection in New Holland, Pennsylvania. We're just a youth center and resource center trying to reach the youth in our community and also to their families.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. And then Keith just graduated last May. And tell us a little bit about the ministry you're involved in, Keith.
Yeah, I'm working out in Akron, Ohio at a church working with the young adults, 18 to 28-year-olds.
All right. So let's see. Kyle's 27. Kevin, you're 25?
24.
24. Keith, 22. And finally, rounding it out with the Keltner family is Kurt Keltner, and now you're 20.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit of what you've been involved in? You're in Bible college right now, but God's also opened some other doors for you, so why don't you share a little bit of that?
Right now, I'm just a sophomore at Lancaster Bible College. I just changed my major to business and minor in intercultural studies, and then I'm also in the Army Reserves while I'm in school.
Okay. So we're going to get around to all of them and see a little bit of what God's been doing there in their life, maybe some opportunities they've had with the gospel, and so, Kyle, why don't you share with us a little bit what God's been doing in your life? Tell us a little bit about South Africa and needs that you saw over there. And, of course, you were right there with Nelson Mandela passing away. I mean, I think the funeral and all that was taking place when you were over there, right?
Yeah, actually, Nelson Mandela died the day before I left to fly over to South Africa. So while I was there, there was the funeral and the viewing, and they actually did that, I think, in Johannesburg at the big stadium. And so there was a bunch of people that came to celebrate what Nelson Mandela did. So I really got a firsthand experience of who Nelson Mandela was. Got to ask quite a bit of people, locals, of Nelson Mandela and just the person that he was and what he tried to do for South Africa.
Well, our missionary over there, Dave and Julie Rudolph, have just taken a new position. And I know they've been talking to you about coming over there and trying to help them set up a youth ministry, but won't you tell us a little bit of some opportunities that you had while you were there?
Yeah, the ministry would be kind of twofold. The first one would be working in the town of Knysna, which is on the southern part. That's called the Garden Route in South Africa. It doesn't really look like South Africa. I mean, it's just beautiful, green, just a paradise really to live in. There's a lot of money in Knysna, a lot of wealthy people, a lot of people retire there, a lot of people have second homes, and so it's very affluent with just as far as money and resources that are available. So the first thing that he would like me to do is just to get a youth group started along in Knysna and also the surrounding towns along the Garden Route. So that would be the first thing, is just try to get some youth into the church that he's a part of. The church he's a part of is a little bit of an older generation. And so He's looking for this next generation. So that would be one of the things I would be responsible for, as working alongside him to build a youth program down in South Africa. And then the second part would be working in the townships, which the townships are really just the slums. Those are people that are just very less fortunate, that really struggle with just basic needs, stricken by AIDS, poverty there, just driving through. You can just see just shacks that these people live in, and you are shocked that actually people live in there, but that's what they call home. And so the second part would be to work in the townships with sports and using the gospel through the avenue of sports. And there are big soccer craze down there in the townships, that is. And so working with soccer programs like soccer tournaments and soccer camps and clinics and things like that to share Jesus in the townships. And so that would really be kind of twofold. One, working in the townships, which is extremely, extremely poor. And then the second part is working in Nisna, which is very wealthy, and try to get some teens and energy back into the church.
Okay. And obviously there's a huge need for the gospel there. Is it a very strong religious area, or is it really ripe and open for the gospel?
That's a good question. I mean, I was only down there for about 10 days, so the only thing that I really picked up was people do have a God conscience down there, but they're very open, I think, to the gospel. I know that we were talking to a few people just along the way, and they seemed open to the gospel. They didn't seem too closed. Depending on where you go, I know that there is some Muslim background there and also some Catholicism as well. But as far as the religious background, I can't really speak to that in depth because I was only there for a little bit. But I think that they are open, but I think it's more of a just basic God conscience. Yeah, there's a God up there, but they don't really understand him as Lord and Savior from their sins.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, they're critical about God sending someone to hell, especially those that never have heard. And we talk about five universal witnesses. And one is that aspect of a God consciousness that God has within man, as he created man, a desire to worship. And that's why you can go sometimes in those back jungles and find someone just worshiping a tree or whatever. But that God consciousness has been put there by the Lord. Then obviously God's word. I mean, you look at how long God has preserved it. He's promised us he would preserve it for us. And the word of God is a universal witness. Did Dave talk about, or did anybody mention to you there, is there a need for more Bibles there?
Yeah, as far as like Christian bookstores and things like that, I didn't see any in Nisna or in George. I know that there is some wealth there. So as far as getting Bibles and things like that, that is a resource that people can get their hands on, I believe. So it's not really in the bush or really in rural areas. So there is resources that can provide that, but I didn't really see any Christian bookstores.
I know here at Brookside, we actually took up a love offering to get a bookstore going in a country that really is trying to keep the Bible out, but God opened up a door for us to do that. So the Word of God is a universal witness. Jesus Christ is a universal witness. This is why Paul said in Romans chapter 1, God speaking through the Apostle Paul, that all men are going to be without excuse. And he looked at nature, nature itself. And I guess down South Africa, it's beautiful, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
And then Christians are the other witness that God has. And I'm sure there's a need in South Africa. There's a need here that folks will actually share the gospel with people that they come in contact with. But those are those universal witnesses, and you kind of let us off there with that God consciousness. But talk a little bit about the nature and creation there. You got to see a few wild animals. The baboons were out in the residential areas.
Yeah, baboons are actually protected there, so you're not allowed to kill them. If you do, you're going to get in big trouble, fines, or even possibly put in jail.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Dave Rudolph. I guess one actually got in his house and, what, had the refrigerator
Dave
open?
Dave Rudolph said he came in and there was a baboon opening the refrigerator door just like a teenager looking for food. And he started yelling and ended up going out the window that he finally came in. But yeah, the baboons are very intelligent creatures, so they find ways to get in to people's homes.
Well, I don't know if you guys remember John Connor, a missionary, and he grew up in Nairobi. And I remember the story he always told. They would be going out camping and whatever, and they had a motorcycle. A couple guys would get on the back of the motorcycle, and they were just throwing the football around, and all of a sudden they saw these baboons up on the hill just kind of watching them. So they thought, hey, let's have a little fun here. So they picked up some rocks and started throwing at the baboons. And they found out a baboon has another defense mechanism besides their teeth. They pick up rocks and start throwing them back. And he said they barely got on their motorcycles with rocks hitting them in the body and ducking their heads. And he said, man, those baboons were aggressive throwing rocks. So, yeah, I was surprised when I looked on your Facebook page how many in the residential areas that they had there. So you think, man, it could be geese that you're having to deal with or baboons. But anyway, it goes back to the fact that God has created for mankind, and just creation itself demonstrates his power and his glory. So neat to hear what God's doing in your life. Kevin, share with us a little bit about Cross Connections and maybe some opportunities with the gospel God's given to you.
Cross Connection was started in 1988 through several churches coming together and noticing a need for somebody to reach the youth that were in the city there of New Holland. And originally I thought, New Holland, how is there a city there? How's there kids and an inner city feel to it? But since I've been there, New Holland actually has a lot of money in the area. There's a lot of Case New Holland farm equipment companies there. And it's kind of a farm rural area. But in the city there, many, many families have been moving up from the city of Lancaster. And the poverty line, there's actually 43% of the city is below the poverty line. And so our goal is to reach out to many of the youth and give them a safe place to hang out. We give them a meal. We're open in the evenings there. We give them a meal and just give them a safe place to hang out. And through efforts of volunteers and staff there, just try to build connections with them and a relationship, start inviting them to church and see them come to know Christ.
Well, we're going to come back with this, and I'd like to hear maybe of a scenario God gave to you, you know, specifically about the gospel. And then one thing that I'd also like to talk to you guys about is, as you look at growing up in church and being part of a pastor's home, I mean, what was it God used in your life to really give you a burden and a passion for the gospel, to be involved in ministry? And so we'll look at that on our next broadcast, and I'm excited to just share with you that the passion for the gospel needs to start at home. It needs to be something that is emphasized in our churches today. I mean, we like to say here at Brookside that Christ's last command there in the book of Acts chapter 1, we're to go out and to be witnesses, should really be our first concern. And that should be our passion. So if you're listening on your way to work this morning, you pray that God will give you an open door, an opportunity even at work, to be able to share the gospel or to start building bridges to be able to share the gospel, because there is a need all across the world, not just in South Africa, not just in Lancaster County, but right here in our home state of Wisconsin and in southeastern Wisconsin. So let's be asking God for his direction, and as we start this new year off, that God would give us opportunities and divine appointments on a regular basis where we can see Jesus Christ and his gift of eternal life offered to folks we come in contact with. So may the Lord bless you and have a great day.